Please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code Taskmaster to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hard-working day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code Taskmaster to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer. Welcome to Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I'm your host, GP John Paz. With me, of course, star of the show, the former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds at bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
Great, JP. How are you, my friend?
Doing pretty good. Can't complain. I see that WWE's ratings aren't doing so good, and a rumor of Vince McMahon wanting to make a return. Have you seen or heard anything about this?
Yeah, I heard about Vince wanting to come back, but what did you say, the ratings?
Yeah, they're the lowest since July 2021 and tied with the lowest of all time for Raw. SmackDown is doing good. Raw is struggling.
Do you think Raw is struggling because of Monday Night Football?
To be honest, a little bit, yeah, because remember that one game they had a few weeks ago? Brady made that comeback with 3 minutes left.
Right.
Seemed like they had a mass exodus of actual viewers that weren't watching Raw. If you looked at the, you know, the chart with the numbers, how it literally goes straight downhill, and that coincides with the time that Brady was making that crazy comeback. So it's got to hurt a little bit.
Yeah, but here's how times have changed too. Back in the day, the NFL offered both companies money to get off of Monday night during football. But I'm sure they were still in the top five. It was still in the top five for the evening, right?
I think it was top seven. I think they said it was.
Well, okay, even top seven. What else could do that well? You know what I mean? Do you sometimes think we, in the business, overdo both ends of the spectrum, whether it's like, hey, they're doing horrible and the statistics are right, but if they're in the top seven, you're in a pretty good position, aren't you?
Right. That's why when some people complain about AEW and then you look and they're top one or top two, it's like, it's not bad for a Wednesday night. I know it's maybe not be what they want, but it's still no one or two every Wednesday night.
Yeah, and I was going to say that for them, if they're in what you said, they're in the position of one or two every Wednesday night, what are they going to spend to replace that? I mean, I've heard some ridiculous figures on buying series like Friends and Steinfeld. I heard it was $5 million an episode. Now, that probably, I don't know if that's true, but where are you going to get something that's going to drive those numbers? If it's not a Steinfeld or an Office or Friends or something that's going to cost you a bunch of money. So, I mean, I think what they're winning with just the programming. You know what I mean? They're not spending that on wrestling every week.
Yep.
So, does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I've heard with TNT, they were paying that show Snowpiercer something like $20 million a year, maybe even more than that, just for, I think it's 10 episodes, I think it was. So it's like you're getting 56 or whatever, you know, you're getting 52 weeks a year of TBS from AEW at $42 million or whatever it was. I think it was $40 million. So that is significantly cheaper than paying crazy amount of money for Snowpiercer. So obviously, money-wise, it's a lot cheaper to produce AEW, and you're getting probably just about the same ratings.
Yeah, I mean, and you're getting, like you said, close to 52 episodes a year compared to 20. You're getting 32 more. Even if you miss two, we'll say you get 30 more. You get more bang for your buck, that's for sure. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Do you think the low ratings, I know people were making a joke, as soon as that came out, all of a sudden Vince McMahon supposedly wants back in. Do you think that has anything to do with it, or what do you think, like, where do you think that came from?
We all know, did Vince ever take a vacation from the time he bought the company from his dad? Have you ever heard of him taking a vacation?
No, that was the one thing that everybody I've talked to, everyone always said, the guy never took vacation, wouldn't take breaks, nothing.
Okay, so if that's all he knows, don't you think him stepping aside, you know, maybe the first week he said, oh, I'm glad I'm stepping aside because of the turmoil he's in right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when he sees a little, when he watches it, and that's all he's ever done, he probably is saying, oh, I'd like to get back in the saddle again. I mean, so is it that the ratings have dipped? You know, it's like he's a guy that likes to be in a position of power. You know what I mean? I don't think I'm wrong on that. I mean, this was his baby. Think back when he was promoting little towns outside of Boston. He was in Fitchburg, Worcester, Lowell. Then he was in Bangor, Maine, Augusta, Maine, Prescott Isle, Maine. That's the last town. One of the last towns in the U.S. before you cross into Canada. Think of how far he's come to making this a billion-dollar industry. And there isn't a day or a week, let's say, that goes by without the mentioning on television in some form WWE, like in football or that in baseball. He took a hard slide. It looked like a power bomb from the, like, the WWE. Don't you? You know what I'm saying? It's part of our vernacular right now. It's in our language. So, I mean, let's face it. He was the only guy ever be able to do that.
And it looks like somewhere across the line that Wall Street Journal got a quote from him or a quote from a friend of him. And it said that I got bad advice about taking time off. I could have just stepped to the side and still been in charge. And this would have blown over and I could still run the company. So I think I got some bad advice, meaning Vince is saying that he got bad advice and that he could come back. I don't know. Do you think he's crazy? If that's true, if that quote is true.
Crazy. Like a fox. Here's the thing. I don't see Vince McMahon making a mistake on this kind of position he was in. Do you? I mean, Vince is a very smart guy. And here's what I'm thinking. I think it was the best thing for him to step by. It could have caused... If he didn't step aside, it could have caused their stocks to drop. It could have caused more unrest. They could have lost some guys. Anything could have happened. Because when in these news cycles now, when something's negative, they jump on it and drain it till they got every last bit out of it. So, I mean, do you think? What would you, if you were Vince McMahon and you owned that company, what would you have done? I would have stepped aside. What would you have done?
You got to step aside because of all the allegations. And they seemed like they weren't going to stop. And all of a sudden, he stepped aside. All the allegations stopped. The stock went through the roof. It's still very, very high. The highest debt has been in, I think, maybe probably a couple of years at least. This is the highest it's been. But it seems like now that he said that, two more allegations have come out just as he said he was going to make a comeback. So it's like every time he says that, I think you're just opening up a can of worms where more and more things are going to come out.
Yeah. I think right now the best thing for this company, and this doesn't mean we're right, it seems to me that Hunter's doing an incredible job. I would advise him to stay away because he would become a lightning rod for negativity for the WWE. Things would blow up, and it certainly would put AEW and Tony in a better position with the public. Do you think I'm right?
For sure. I feel like the morale, too, would go down if Vince came back.
Yeah, but I also think that the public perception would be immediately Tony become the huge babyface and Vince would be the huge heel. And I really believe that when Vince stepped away, he didn't give much time to turn on that company. They turned on Vince, but they didn't turn on the company because he did step away. And Hunter did put a better product out there immediately.
Definitely. Seemed like it anyway. It definitely seems like it was headed in the right direction. And if he came back, I just wonder if the morale would just be one of the things where people wanted to leave and go to AEW again. Because it seemed like now everybody wants to go back because Triple H is there.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be interesting this next 6 months because there's going to be some talent that are going to get their chance. Both Tony and Hunter are really pushing the younger guys. And then some of the younger guys who we think are over right now are really going to get over, like that MJF. We all say, well, he's a great talker and a great performer and everything right now. Now that he's in the front seat of the car, I think he's really going to mature in this next 6 months. I look for stuff from him to come out and him be the flagship of that company, don't you? And then the matches he can have with Moxley, the matches he can have with Daniel Bryant, the next matches he can have with, I mean, Darby Allin. I mean, there's a whole assortment of guys for him to work with, from big giants to from Milo to guys like Darby, who are the high flyers. I mean, he's got an assortment, and it's an assortment of brand new matches never seen.
With Vince, obviously, you know, he says he wants to come back. Maybe he shouldn't. But they did have the Vice documentary, The Nine Lives of Vince McMahon. Did you happen to see that?
No, I didn't. I wanted to watch that. That was last week.
That actually aired technically last night. They put it on. The Nine Lives of Vince McMahon.
What did you think of it?
To be honest, I liked it. It was good for the most part, but I felt like we knew a lot of this stuff, but I know what they're saying. Do you want to put everything together and, you know, have the story out there, put everything, all the pieces together? So they kind of put all different stories and they made it into one big Vince story. So it was good for the most part. The only thing is some of the editing was a little off. Like there was a few times I noticed the year was off. There was a few times where they showed like a clip and then they were kind of pertaining to one year, but they showed a clip of a different year. Just a few things they could have tightened up for sure.
Yeah. Well, maybe that happened because maybe they were thinking they had a lot more time to put that together. And then all of a sudden, with the buzz about maybe Vince coming back, they said, well, we need to get this on TV immediately. You know what I mean?
It's possible, because it seemed like there wasn't a lot of promotion for it. Like one trailer came out 2 days beforehand. They're like, there wasn't this big push of what was coming out. It was almost like, oh, by the way, it's coming out Tuesday. Here it is. Like it was very quick.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I thought it was last week and I thought I missed it. Well, I'll just go to the computer and watch it.
So I don't know. I feel like a lot of the stories, obviously, everyone's going to know. Maybe some people, the casual fans, probably don't know some of that stuff about Vince. Do you think that would change someone's opinion on him either way? Like, oh, he did that? I don't know. Like, would that documentary really change someone's stance on Vince?
Let me ask you, seeing that I didn't see it, don't you think most documentaries are slanted one way or the other?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so how did that... When you got through watching that, what did you think? Was it slanted for or against?
Against him, for sure.
Okay, so you're watching a documentary, it's against him. And, you know, people that watch documentaries, we all tend to say, side with the person that put it together. But when you were talking about this and him coming back and him getting bad information, you know, popped in my head, the biggest run they ever had was when he was a heel persona. What if he came back? He would be an incredible heel right now, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the sponsor would be pretty upset with him, but yeah, for sure.
Well, he that's the crazy thing about wrestling. They now know it's an art form, yet they're afraid of heat. I mean, you watch any cable program, American Horror, go down the list, you know what I mean? Violent stuff. But wrestling, they have a special niche for it and say, well, you can't do that. It's like, I was thinking that if he came back and took that persona up, and maybe he even, I mean, this is going to drive people crazy, but could you imagine if Vince came out with three women on his arm like Rick used to do after all this?
Yeah.
Would it get heat? Or is it too much that people say, oh, he's mocking? That's why we're in a funny situation about cancel culture. What do you think, JP?
I don't know. It's a slippery slope. I feel like the cancel culture is too much. I hate cancel culture and all that stuff. But in this case, I don't know, they might be justified. If Vince has all these allegations and then he just comes on TV and acts like a, you know, acts kind of like what we think he acts like behind the scenes. And I don't know, it might be too close to, for comfort. I think the cancel culture would go nuts on that.
Oh, I do too. And that's why I'm saying we're in a, here's something that about that. Did you see where they had a kind of round table discussion with comedians? And which blew me away, like 75% of them thought, and I always heard that people said The Office couldn't be back on again, you know?
Mm.
You see what they were saying? 75% of the comedians said, yeah, it could be, because it was so over the top. And then I thought about it. You know, I like The Office. You know, there's a great line when he's going to the dentist, you know, the Crentis line. Do you think The Office could happen today?
I don't know. Some of those episodes, I feel like these people go nuts. There's an episode where Michael Scott is like, oh, I wonder if black people eat pizza. I feel like people would go nuts about that. You know what yeah. I mean? I feel like even though like it was hilarious, funny line, he tests his theory out, all this other stuff, but I think people go nuts.
Yeah.
Very weird times we're living in.
Yeah, and that's why I was so shocked that the comedians voted overwhelming that they could do it. I don't think you could. I remember there was one episode with a guy that was really heavy. You remember that? He came from another branch and he told them to get up on the table and sit. And they're pushing him up. And I mean, and then what was the Puerto Rican guy? The game?
Oh, yeah, I forget his name, yep.
Yeah, could they do anything with him like they did? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. Nowadays, I don't know. Yeah. And now they're saying that Mandy Rose from NXT, she was the NXT Women's Champion for over 400 days, they were even saying she was being too risque on her OnlyFans account, so she got fired because they were saying she's putting pornographic-type material out there. So, I don't know, it's a weird time because remember, you know, Sonny was doing all the sexual stuff, and Sable was in Playboy, and Tori Wilson was in Playboy. I know, obviously, that's a different time, a different age, but it just seems like, I don't know, it's so different nowadays. Who knows, like, what you can and can't do and what you're going to get in trouble for?
Yeah, and think about this. Playboy got taken over by UFO's daughter, right? And then stopped putting in pictures of naked ladies.
Yeah, weird. Yep.
We went from you having the to having the, all the playmates to his daughter running Playboy and not having pictures of it.
Yep.
Became like the New Yorker magazine, you know. It was for highbrow reading.
Yeah, weird, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you think that, you know, obviously you probably didn't really see much of the Mandy Rose stuff, but do you think that, I don't know, what you do privately for your OnlyFans accounts, and like, do you think that you should be able to get fired for that?
Well, do I think you should be able to get fired for that? You're representing that company, and we've talked about this before a lot. I've told you about why WCW didn't work, I think, was the bottom line. They are doing so well in their stocks, and they're not going to take the chance. It isn't back in the day where they looked the other way, you know what I mean?
Mm.
They're not going to take the chance of one person or a group of people bringing their corporation down. How many people, families, are being fed over there? Thousands. And I don't think whoever's in charge, whether it's Hunter or Vince or whoever, they can't afford to take a chance on that. I mean, you know, their stocks are way up. And like you said, they took a little hit when Vince stepped aside. But then as soon as he stepped aside, it went higher than it was before. So, you know, there are things that she probably was pushing the line, and she thought, well, I can take another step and go over it. You know, I'm sure somebody said, I'm not sure of anything, but I would assume somebody said to her, you know, that was a, they had to give her some kind of warning, don't you think, JP?
Yeah.
You're getting too close to stepping over the line, so.
Yep. So it looks like, I guess, somebody revealed or released some of the pictures that is supposed to be, you know, behind a paywall, obviously, with OnlyFans. But then it got leaked out, so WWE was saying these are too uncensored, and basically it was too much. It was too closely related to doing, like, pornographic stuff, and they're too PG now for them to kind of handle that kind of stuff. So, unfortunately, I think she'll be back eventually, but right now she's gone, which stinks for her, obviously.
Yeah, but you're probably right. She will be back. So, you know, the thing about life is you learn from your mistakes, not your successes. So hopefully she'll be back.
So today on the show, we want to talk about WCW Millennium Final 2000, which was held on November 16th, Oberhausen, Germany, at Arena Oberhausen. Over 9,000 people in attendance for this one. German-only pay-per-view here, so that's the interesting part. Now, you were part of, or I think were part of, a European, not pay-per-view, but a European tour in 1994. When you go back to that, which is the original European Cup, they're going to have the follow-up 6 years later here in 2000. But 94, were you a part of that?
Yeah. That was when Hogan and Eric came to me and asked me if I was ready to take the book over. So it was very good. A tour for me.
Hey, that's a good thing. So when these tours happen, who like books these tours? Like as far as like talent, who's doing the win loss, like what is the protocol, or how did these things even like get booked in the first place when you're going to Germany?
You mean how do you book it just like you would in the States? So you bring in A1 talent and you book it like you would a storyline, you know what I mean? But you have a little bit more of a tendency that, because of the length of time about coming back, it would be rather than heat loaded, it would be baby faces loaded, you know what I mean? You want people to leave in a happy mood because you're going to be gone for quite a while. But who gets the building, JP?
Yeah, like how does it get booked out? Yeah,
they had a company over there that did music. They did boxing. They did about everything. You know what I mean? And the guy, I remember the front guy we dealt with. He did a lot of stuff all over Europe, but he was German, but especially in Germany, you know what I mean? And then, you know, thing we forget is Europe is like the States, you know? Germany is close to Austria, you know, so different people run different things, but they all know each other. It's like back in the day when promoters had territories, you know what I'm saying? So maybe the German promoter calls the Austrian promoter and says, hey, listen, I got WCW coming in. Here's the guy to call, Eric Bischoff. Call Eric and see if you can get the tour prolonged and go to Austria, because the travel wouldn't be that bad for them. So, or if you don't do it this one, set it up for another one.
So you always have to have a local promoter, pretty much?
Yeah, I mean, because you got to know how to get permits, you know, it's like in the States, you know how you got a business and you got to put up a sign. You just can't put up a sign. You got to get a permit. It has to be so big, so small, so if it fits in the same color. So you have to know the landscape. So it's better to use somebody over there that knows the rules of the road. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
So, yeah.
So as far as this original European tour in 94, the one I'm referring to is actually in March of 94, basically starts on March 8th, and it will end up basically going all the way till March 20th, and it'll have the European Cup tournament with 16 guys in it, and that will last throughout the entire tour, which pretty cool and pretty different to do that. And obviously, when you're doing that, it's almost like the King of the Ring concept, so to speak. It's a tournament, but it'll last more than just one night. It'll last through many nights. So I don't know. I thought it was a pretty cool concept from back in the day, and I think a lot of people remember that tour because that's when Mick Foley lost his ear on the rope against Vader, and his half of his ear got chopped off.
Yeah, you're right about that. I think that wasn't the 94 tour. I don't believe. I wasn't that later on for Mick.
So Mick was it in 94, March of 94. Hogan's was a little bit later when he did his little Hulkamania tour out there.
Okay, but when did Mick lose his ear? Was that 94?
Yeah, March of 94. Yep.
Okay. So Hogan wasn't on the first one in 94. Were you?
No, he's on the second one. Yep.
Okay. So I was not on the first one. I was on the second one with Hogan.
Okay. So this European Cup tour, they were kind of calling it Battle Stars, basically. Like every tour was like Battle Stars day one, day two. When Foley loses ear is actually 3/16/94. So interesting date there, Austin 3/16 style. But with that tournament, Paul Roma is in it. To Ricky Steamboat, Cactus Jack, obviously Vader, Sting, Ric Flair. It's a pretty damn good star-studded tournament. The finals of the tournament was on 3/20/94. The European Cup is won by Sting, who defeated Vader in the finals, who had actually beaten Ric Flair in the semi. So Vader went on quite a tear there, only to lose to Sting in the finals. Why do I bring that up? Because Sting, for this show in 2000, they're going to have the European Cup again. He advances automatically to the finals because he won in 1994. I don't know if that would make sense to anybody, but that's the way they did it. And he advances to the finals of the European Cup of this show here in the Millennium Final.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, at a tournament, all bets are off, right, after you win it. But I guess because they were so over, that's what they wanted to do. But, you know, here's something. We mentioned Vader, right?
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't Vader at one time in Japan, was he equivalent to world heavyweight champion?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Multiple times.
At the time I'm talking about, he's world champion in Japan. He was world champion in Germany.
Yes. Mexico.
World champion in South Africa and world champion in the United States.
Yeah, WCW.
Yeah, and I don't think, and in Mexico, was it UAW or UWA?
UWA, yeah.
I don't think he gets the credit he deserves. I mean, champion, that's like undisputed heavyweight champion, you know what I mean? That goes back to, like, Fez, where everybody bought into him being the world champion around the globe. Pretty crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. He got screwed in WWF. There's no doubt about it. His booking in WWF is terrible.
Yeah. But do you think he got out of shape there, too?
A little bit, yeah. Because remember, he even says in a promo, "I'm a fat piece of shit now." So, Seemed like he got a little out of shape.
And didn't he have a bunch of injuries too, John?
Oh, they were piling up at that point, big time. Yeah. But it's funny, he goes to Japan in 99, and it's like, holy shit, Vader's back. He was amazing. So it was like, man, he I know he got a little better shape, and the injuries kind of passed, and he got healthier. But still, he seemed like a completely different guy. He seemed like he was back to prime Vader.
Right. You know, he was an impressive worker. I mean, he could do shit for his size that was incomprehensible. But and then his punches and the splashes were so solid. I don't think he ever got the recognition he deserved.
I agree. I think he's the best big man ever. I know people could say Andre, Undertaker. I know there's a bunch of other names, but I'll throw Vader's name in the hat every time.
I don't think you'd be wrong throwing in the ring, that's for sure.
Love Vader. Love the big man Vader. But here in 2000, obviously you're gone. You're not a part of this tour. Right. Russo's in charge. When you're like the booker, you're in charge. Do you have to do the European tours, or the wrestlers just go and the agents and not necessarily the head booker?
First of all, I like the Europe, so I would definitely go. But how do you go, not go, but some of them didn't. I always thought, how do you go in not? How do you not go in such a competitive background, Europe? I mean, you hit a couple of streams over there. Like if you hit Germany and you hit England, you know, and it blows open for you, boy, you've really advanced the company. You know what I mean? And if you don't go, I don't care. You know. Watching something when you get home and they put it on for you to watch isn't the same vibe as you're getting at a building. You know what I mean?
Yep.
At the building, you can see you best bring a guy in, and boy, he got over because of the vibe. It's a completely different thing watching it on television than bringing it back for you than being there and feeling the movement of the people. So I think that's a mistake for guys not going. That's my take.
Also, I noticed for these tours, they usually try to get like a local celebrity to kind of help out either with ticket sales or help out with the show. They do it here. Axel Schultz, who is a pretty famous boxer from Germany, obviously from German descent. He fought George Foreman. He fought Vladimir Klitschko. He fought Francois Botha. Pretty high profile name just as far as a pretty famous boxer, right? I mean, that's always a smart thing.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that until you said it. I mean, he fought everybody, so didn't he have a big-time fight with Botha that they was a slugfest? I mean, he was over in Germany, correct?
Yes, big time, yeah.
He had one fight, I remember, where they both got knocked down and all that, so... What a great way to have. I personally think that if you have a celebrity, I don't think it can hurt unless it's somebody that doesn't mix and match, like Carrot Top being a celebrity for UFC. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you have Larry Holmes or even a bodybuilder or a power lifter, you know what I mean? I think that's, at least it gives people who, especially over there, maybe didn't get, they probably did get the local channel, but maybe some people didn't. But even if they were casual viewers, when they heard about their hometown hero being the spokesperson for it, it helps them to decide whether to go or not, I think. You?
Yeah, and if you think about it, he's going to be the special ref for the match, so that always gets some extra interest. Like, he's actually going to be a part of the show, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So this show is actually one of the very few shows that's not on the WWE Network or on Peacock. Primarily, I mean, it was broadcast in German, German-only pay-per-view, and I guess their quality standards have to be up to a certain snuff to be on the network. So that kind of stinks for fans that are like, oh, the Millennium Final, I want to check that out. Well, you're not going to be able to check it online. You're going to have to do it, you know, like I did many years ago. I got it from a tape trading. I used to go to this website and you get a bunch of stuff. So you won't be able to find it, much like Collision in Korea, I don't think is on there either, but that is available. That was made available on pay-per-view. This never was here in the States.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I guess they were too lazy to dub it over with English commentary. I'm not really sure. Maybe they weren't happy with the quality. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. I would put everything out there that I could.
I was wondering if it was some kind of international trade agreement or, you know, maybe you couldn't put them on from the crew you use from overseas. I don't know. But I thought you're right. It should have been on for sure.
Yeah, very weird. I don't know. To me, if you have a big show like that, like everything should be available.
Yeah.
And obviously the big star, they don't necessarily pump him up like that. But Alex Wright is German, so he's kind of like the big star of this tour. He's going to get a bunch of matches on this card.
Yeah, and his dad was a big star there.
Yeah, Steve Wright.
Yeah, yeah.
So as far as the show is concerned, let's talk about the matches. Chronic, Brian Adams, and Brian Clark in the first match defeated the Filthy Animals of Billy Kidman and Rey Mysterio with Tigress by a pinfall. Match went 10 minutes, 15 seconds. The only thing is really with like foreign shows, there's not much like storyline development or like,
right.
Okay, Chronic beats them, but it's cold. I mean, there's not necessarily like a reason for it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Is that just the way it is when you're booking foreign tours? It's just going to be cold matches?
Unless you cut promos and shoot an angle and insert them in the show, yeah, you're about limited. But you should be able to get around it, what I just said. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So, but then again, you're dancing about how much you can do without offending a local TV station, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So with this show, they're going to have a battle royal, then they're going to have a triple threat, and then they're going to have the finals, all kind of wrapped around this European Cup. So you got to win a battle royal to get into the triple threat to kind of get into the finals. So it's a little confusing, a little convoluted, but just to try to follow along here is Mike Awesome wins the battle royal to move on later on to the basically the semifinals or the qualifying match. So he last eliminates Alex Wright in the battle royal. The battle royal went about 20 minutes.
Minutes.
Basically just a way to get Mike Awesome further on down the line into the show.
Yeah, Mike, I was trying to think that he might have been the worst misused guy there. Do you think so?
Man, it's so funny. Me and my buddy were talking about this the other day. It was so funny. He's like, why did Mike Awesome not get the push that Billy Kidman got? And I said, you know what? That's so crazy. Obviously, you're not there at this point. This is Russo era. But I always thought that. I'm like, wow, imagine Mike Awesome against Hogan. Like, that would be believable. People would have been kind of into it because, like, okay, Mike is big, obviously, 6'6". Hogan and him would be eye to eye. Kidman had no shot. There was like, oh, come on. Like, everybody was like, come on, why is Kidman? But Mike Awesome, if he feuded with Hogan, I think people would have loved it. I think that would have worked.
Yeah, and you could have even done something about it. Weren't they related somehow?
Yeah, right. Horace Hogan was I think through Mike Awesome. Is it Mike Awesome's sister or something? Like he was cousins with Horace Hogan. That's so kind of in a convoluted way was kind of related to Hulk, but not really.
The thing is, Horace is Hogan's nephew.
Yes. Yes.
So he's Horace's cousin. He's got to be Hulk's cousin, unless it's through marriage.
That's what I heard. It was through marriage. So it's kind of like they'd see each other at parties and stuff, but really, you know what I mean? Family parties, not necessarily related. Yeah.
feel they could have done something with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I know Hulk liked him. Hulk would always talk him up.
Yeah.
That's funny that you mentioned that, because my buddy was saying that the other day. I said, I don't know. I know Hogan made that comment about Kidman, and they were like, oh, now you got to smooth it over and work with the guy because you said he couldn't sell out a flea market. But and I remember Mike Awesome powerbombed Hogan through a table. I felt like, okay, here we go. This is going to be the big Mike Awesome Hogan feud to give Awesome a push. And then all of a sudden he became a fat chick thriller and that 70s guy, and that was kind of the end of him.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I know you love that gimmick, the fat chick thriller. I know you love that. He used to come out with the fat women.
I was with Mike on about 3 tours in Japan, and he was over there, and he could do anything, but he was very believable. And I would have really loved to see him work with Hulk, because I think Hulk dialed it up too.
Yeah, would have had a nice little buzz, because remember, he was the ECW champion, and he had left ECW as champion, and he beat up Nash his first night in. So he had a good buzz about him, too. And just look at him physically, you're like, okay, this guy's imposing, and he's athletic as hell. Could have been something better.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people knock the dives from the ring. But Mike, when Mike did it, he'd go over the top rope. I mean, he was really athletic. Very athletic.
Yeah. I feel like Heyman booked him very well. Russo did not, for whatever reason. Which you could say about a lot of guys, but yeah. So the next matchup, Kiwi with Paisley defeated Elix Skipper about 10 minutes. Really just kind of more like a filler on the card. Nothing more, nothing less. Then the next match, Ernest the Cat Miller defeated Mike Sanders with Miss Jones via pinfall for the WCW commissionership, 5 minutes and 30 seconds there. So they put a little bit of a storyline onto that match, teasing that he might lose his commissionership, but really nothing too, like, nothing storyline heavy as far as the show.
Right, right.
So then we have a General Huge Erection, which I know you, your favorite name in the history of the wrestling business, defeated Lance Storm with Major Guns, another one of your favorite names, by DQ, and that was for the WCW United States Championship, a.k.a. the Canadian Heavyweight Championship. Match went 7 minutes, 30 seconds. Huge Erection wins by DQ. Great name.
Yeah, and Bill was saddled with that. Bill was a hell of a performer. Again, I was in Japan with Bill when he did the first moonsault he ever did. We got to the building early, and I talked him into trying it, and they got a you know, the rubber mats they use in amateur wrestling.
Yep.
And they rolled it up, put it in the middle of the ring, and had Bill do it, and he hit it right off the bat the first time he tried it. He was a very good performer, looked good. He was just saddled with a bunch of bad gimmicks.
That one, who, man, I don't know. Just, you could tell the name is too jokey for it to ever, like, he would never get over with that name.
Yeah.
So then Norman Smiley defeated Fit Finley in an Oktoberfest hardcore match. A little bit of a fun match here. Match goes about 10 minutes. Tying in some German, right? You got to tie in where you are, right? You got to do an Oktoberfest match in Germany.
Right. But as much as I like Norman, they should have took in consideration that Fit Finley was probably in the top 3 all-time draws in Germany.
Yeah, interesting. They had him kind of loose here in like a jokey kind of hardcore match. Very weird.
I mean, he was really over in Germany. I mean, that's the first time I ever heard of Finley was Terry Funk and I were talking. He said, there's a guy in Germany, he's one of the greatest workers I've ever seen, and nobody knows him. He says, he's over there like anything. He works with Otto. I said, well, he's a big guy like Otto. No. So, I mean, they obviously didn't know his background. Or if they did, they didn't utilize it.
when you think about that, and I remember Triple H beat Jinder Mahal in India, does that, like, not necessarily with this match, because Finlay was the high up on the card, but can that kill the territory? You're beating your own hometown guys. Wouldn't the fans be, like, a little, I don't know, disgruntled?
Here's what I believe. I believe that it helps a town when your hometown hero loses.
Whoa, okay.
Because people say, well, that is a fake. He's got enough pull. But it's how you beat him. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's how you beat him. Because, hey, you know, it gets to a point where you can put your hometown boy over, but it gets to be a point where he has to get beat. You know?
Yep. So then we have Alex Wright, and subbing for the Disco Inferno is General Huge Erection. They're going to defeat the Natural Born Thrillers of Jindrak and O'Hare by pinfall to win the WCW Tag Team Championship. Match goes about 11 minutes, 30 seconds here. So Alex Wright winning the tag team title with a substitute, General Erection, here in Germany. I believe Alex Wright and Disco would end up defending the titles at one point. So technically, I guess you could say Disco was tag champ, but not really, not officially, because him and the subbing General Erection win the tag titles. That's got to be good for the hometown crowd.
Yeah. And Alex was over there. And he was over because, first of all, his young boy, and his father was a huge star there. That's what we're talking about. In Europe, the English guys used to go to Germany on almost every big tournament. You know, when they ran tournaments, you were aware of how it ran, right, in Germany?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, they go over for a month in Hamburg, 3 weeks in Munich, and they would use people from all over the world at those German tournaments. J.J. Dillon worked there. A lot of the American boys went there, too.
So, go ahead. The next matchup is going to be Alex Wright again. So this is going to be the third time he's on the show. So Nash defeated Mike Awesome, who won the Battle Royal earlier, and Alex Wright, who just won the tag team match in a triple threat match. Nash gets the pin in 7 minutes, 30 seconds to advance to the WCW European Cup Finals. So Nash gets a big win here, and he'll, like I said before, he'll meet Sting in the finals for the European Cup, because Sting won in 94. He's automatically in the finals here. So just an interesting thing. They're going to have Nash and Sting in the finals coming up soon. The next match, though, is Booker T defending his WCW championship and defeating Scott Steiner via pinfall in 11 minutes and 30 seconds. So this is before Mayhem, when Scott Steiner's going to defeat Booker. This is a little tune-up match, and Booker beats Steiner here. Just babyface going over, world title, not going to do anything crazy here. They're going to have the switch in the USA.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the match was great. You know, I'm sure it was, because their styles would complement one another. What did you think of the match, JP?
I haven't seen it in a while, but I just remembered. I love the chemistry between them. Yeah. I feel like they always had good chemistry. Even their tag matches, they always work well together. I know there's just something about guys that are familiar with each other. They could just have an easy match, not go crazy, and have it be entertaining to me.
Yeah, and you're right about their tag matches were great. Probably the best matches the Harlem Heat had was with the Steiners.
Yes. They're
probably the best opponents. But so, I would have thought this would be a barn burner. Yeah.
So now the last match of the evening, 10th match on the card. So a lot of matches on this card. Sting defeated Kevin Nash via submission in 6 minutes to win the WCW European Cup, really retain the European Cup. Like I mentioned, Axel Schultz was the referee for this one. So Sting gets the huge cup, and he gets to hold it up at the end. The crowd loves it. Man, Sting, anywhere they go, I remember, like, when you watch the old Japanese stuff, he was over. Europe, he's over. I mean, no matter what, Sting is one of the most over guys. It's crazy, the charisma of that guy.
Yes, it was. It was. And you know what's crazy about it, JP? You know, that's the closest I've ever seen anybody come to changing a gimmick without changing it. You remember he had blonde hair, colorful jackets, the blue jackets with gold hanging from it. He had the blue, baby blue long tights, red boots, you know, woo. And then he goes into the sullen crow character. That was an extremely change, big change, right?
Yep.
And each one, he got bigger and bigger when he changed.
Man, crazy to think like a guy that with that much charisma and, you know, would do the ow and all that other stuff and then wouldn't talk and somehow got more charismatic by not talking. Weird, but true.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing is, I thought about this the other day. He could not have been the blonde-headed young Sting today. You know, he got immature.
Yep.
But when he was that Sting, he was over like Rover. I mean, the howling and then the Stinger splash in the corner and slapping on the Scorpion Deathlock. I mean, he was over. And then, like you said, he's doing an interview and he'd start hollering and baying at the moon. Now he takes away the blonde hair, long brownish black hair, black white face paint, and he's hardly talking. He went 180 degrees from the character that got him over. He did an amazing job.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he's still wrestling today and literally crazier than ever, jumping off balconies. I mean, he's going all out. I just heard that he had his knee scoped because he wants to be ready for 2023 when he's going to be 65 years old. But he wants to have this match with Muda. I guess it's a six-man tag with Muda, Darby, and himself in Pro Wrestling Noah. He wants to do a bunch of other things. So, man, he's not stopping either. It's crazy. And he's in amazing shape.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And good for him.
So this show, I mean, it's nothing really to say thumbs up, thumbs down about, but it's almost like a big house show, like a giant house show. I know it's a German pay-per-view, but that's what it comes off to me. It's like a fun house show with maybe predictable outcomes, but, you know, a decent show with some good matches.
Yeah, it's like you can say, oh, I remember 10 years ago I went to the tournament for the German Cup. And I saw Sting, and I saw Nash, and I saw Booker T, and I saw Steiner. And it was, like you said, a grandiose house show.
Yep. I don't know. Do you know Mike Ritter? I don't know if you're familiar with him. He was a part of WCW for a little bit towards the end. He works for AEW now. I don't know if you're familiar with that name.
Yes, I am familiar with the name, yeah.
He had said that in 2001, had WWE not bought in WCW, that they were going to go back to Germany for another pay-per-view in the autumn of 2001. It was going to be called Odyssey. I don't know if that's true, false, or not, but I'm just throwing it out there that that's something that he said because of the success of this show. They had 9,000 people, and all the shows did well. So it seemed like WCW wasn't doing well over here, but hey, they go to Europe, and they were kicking ass. I mean, they did really well in the foreign markets.
Okay, so they were going to go over there as WCW?
If Vince didn't buy them, they were going to go back in 2001. So basically, he was saying they were successful here in 2000, that if they were still in business in 01, it was already planned out they were coming back.
Weren't they pulling the plug on the company anyway? Weren't the powers to be?
I guess had they not.
If they had continued on. Yeah.
Yep. That's a good sign, right? Hey, you know, we're dominating in the foreign market. Maybe not so much in the United States, but in Europe, Canada, and elsewhere, they did well.
Right. And they did well in England, too.
Hmm.
They did well in England. I'll tell you, first time I went to England, it was in Birmingham. And I got more chairs than I thought I was going to get, but it was because of my tenure at ECW. Because people started getting ECW. So I don't know if they were on TV over there or the tape trading was so big or whatever. I tend to think that they might have been on a local. They used to have a local channel there that played wrestling like 12 hours a day.
Oh, I would love that channel. Damn, I wish they had that over here.
Yeah.
just a final note, Sting, his European Cup defense against Kevin Nash is actually included in the Sting, the Icon Defined Collection. So I think that would be available, not the whole show, but just that match would be available on the network under the Sting, the Icon Defined Collection. So
cool.
If you still have the network or anybody, so at least that match is out there, but the whole show is not available. So very interesting thing here in 2000, because obviously we know 4 months later they're out of business, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it still showed life, though, didn't it?
Yeah.
9,000 people. Yeah.
Feel like, I don't know, I guess if you could do more foreign tours, you could stay in business longer, but the expense of getting everybody over there, it might end up hurting you too.
Right. But it isn't going to be too much more expensive to fly, we'll say, to London from Atlanta. There will be Atlanta to Vancouver.
Oh, okay.
It's not that much further, a couple of hours. You know, it's 3,500 miles from Atlanta to Vancouver.
Hmm.
So, I mean, the flights from Atlanta to London, I think were right a little, maybe a little over six, and that flight from Atlanta to Vancouver, six. So, but getting out of the arenas would be the difficult part, right? And the other difficult part was taking money out of a country. Now, I don't know how that works. You know what I'm saying, JP?
Yeah, financially, how does that work? Where you going to get it out of there? Yep.
Yeah, you got to have to set up some kind of corporation in every country, I would believe.
Right. Yep. The accounting does. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's other things you take into consideration.
For sure. So let's head towards the plugs. You follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. You can follow Kevin on Instagram at Taskmaster Talks. You could go to Pro Wrestling Tees, ProWrestlingTees.com, and visit the Kevin Sullivan store. Kevin, what else you got going on?
I'm going to be in Florida Saturday at CCW at Newport Richie signing autographs. So our friends and come out and see me and tell me what you think of the show.
Nice. You love it down there in CCW land. You love it down there in Florida.
Yeah.
They run can't get enough.
They run quite a bit, and I get a chance to see my daughter. So it's nice.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. Perfect. Thank you, everybody out there, for tuning in. We'll see you right back here next week for Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. We'll see you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPT Empire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies.
brother.